there's a lot of things related to that we want to get into today, and then when Tim and the family leave, that means there's some transitions that need to happen, and so we have a lot to review. So buckle down, we'll get through these things. The first of them is if you're new, you're like, wow, that's a lot, we're hitting it at an unusual time. We welcome you, we want you to feel connected right away. There's a chance, if you're online, to fill out a form that's a welcome form. And if you're here, you can do the same thing. There are connect cards for you to fill out. You can also get connected via the Mosaic Weekly, which is an email that comes out every Thursday afternoon. So that's a great way to know what's going on in the life of Mosaic. The second one is related to what I was saying about the board, decisions of the church. We have a series of family meetings that are coming up starting in 2 weeks, April 28th, after the service, and then they will be progressively through the spring and the summer. These are going to be some meetings that will help us all as a family to begin to understand a little deeper what's going on in the rhythms of the church, to see into things like finance and how we make decisions and other things. We want to do our level best as the board and as the leadership of the church to invite everyone who calls Mosaic home to have a chance to see in a little bit behind the veil and to feel like it's not a mystery. And so those are things that we'll be doing. Our interim pastor, our intentional interim pastor, Dave, who's not here today, he's home in Texas visiting his family, will help lead those meetings, but they will be an important next step in the beginning of our transition. When I get to the end of my announcements, that means we're like halfway there, and I'm halfway through mine. So stick with me for a few minutes. We are emphasizing communities at Mosaic, and I'm talking about small group communities of various sorts. We are created for relationship as human beings. It's undeniable that we need each other. There were some of us who happened to be together for a men's breakfast yesterday. There was some very deep sharing that happened, and there was reflection in the text after the fact that this is really vital for our formation as people. Now, those sort of groups can take all sorts of forms, from some men in a grassroots way eating breakfast together, to women meeting down in the basement for crafts on a Sunday evening, to meetings that meet around the city in homes. And so if you'd like to sign up for one of those groups, you can do so out after the service at a table out there. There would be one of those leaders who's willing to talk to you, happy to help connect you to a group that would fit who you are, what your rhythms of life are, what days you're available, and that sort of thing. So please come find someone at the table afterwards. You're going to have to make it quick because we have other things that we're going to be doing after the service today. And that takes me to the final one that I have for you, which is in light of communities, there is a community of Mosaic who is just traveling back today. That's the youth. They've been away experiencing a time of Alpha together. And this is a great way for them to be able to, oh, and there they are. I saw everyone look over my shoulder. Didn't know if we had a picture or not, but there they are. This is a chance for them to dig into some of the deeper questions about life, to do so in a way that's unplugged from regular rhythms, where they get to ask deep questions, they get to share their ideas, they get to pray with each other. There is a prayer over them that the Holy Spirit would come into their lives and start to inform who they are and to shape them into people, young men and women who are following Jesus and starting to reflect in wholehearted ways. So we're very excited. Growing up youth in this place is one of our very important things that we do here. And so would you just, while you're thinking about them right now, pray for them silently as we know that they're on their way home to us now.
I have great memories of being part of groups in high school for retreats like that, and I think a lot of people do. And if you remember that and you wish you could get back to it, a great way to try to do that is to join some of those communities that Paul was talking about. So that's another plug for communities. But if you're not ready for a community, or if you're already in a community and you're ready to dig in deeper to this community, I have some great opportunities for you. So we need some more people to serve. There are two opportunities in Life Mosaic right now, which is really actually a lot more than two. So the first is you can serve on the welcome team. If you're jealous of my name badge, that's the way to get a name badge, is to serve on the welcome team. Welcome team is needs help on Sunday, so you just come on a day that you're already here. And if you're excited about that, you're like, I love welcoming people in the door. I love smiling. Smiling is my favorite. I love shaking my hands. I have a role for you. And if you're sitting here thinking, I hate smiling, I hate shaking hands, I hate meeting new people, I actually also have a welcome team role for you. There are a bunch of behind-the-scenes welcome team roles, too. So if either of those is the way you feel, if you want to show up on Sunday a little bit early and help out, we'd love to have you. We also have a number of roles in Mosaic Kids. So Mosaic Kids is downstairs. They're serving children birth through age 5. And what they do down there, if you've never been down there, is they are in community. And they play, and they do crafts, and they have fun, and they get a lesson. And we need volunteers to be a part of the Mosaic Kids team, too. And those adults get to regularly invest in those kids' lives, and that makes a real difference. There are several openings, like I said. Now, Johan, who was on that screen, says that if every parent served, each parent would only have to be in the classroom twice a year. And my guess is, if a bunch of you non-parents served, the parents could even have some Sundays off. So, I'm inviting you guys to volunteer to serve with Mosaic Kids. If you're interested in either of those service roles, that Connect table is the place to do it. You can fill out a Connect card and say, I'd like to serve, and we'll help you find a role that's right for you. So please do that. If you're online, you can get a Connect card too. If you get the Mosaic Weekly, there's probably a link where you can click that and let us know as well. So as Paul said, this is Tim's last Sunday with us, and I have two opportunities for you to be a part of recognizing that transition. The first is a transition fund that we're raising. In recognition of Tim's years of dedicated service, we have a special contribution drive to honor his legacy and to support the Osborne family during this transition period. I know many of you do wish to express your appreciation and well wishes, and so this is a tangible way to do that. If you want to give to that transition fund, there are red envelopes in the lobby. You can give online, you can send a check and write transition on it. If you give online, you pull down the transition tab there and it will go to that fund. So we are still raising for that, and we'd appreciate your contributions, and it's a great way to send a message that you appreciate Tim and the Osbournes. And if you're here today, I have an even better way. I don't know. I have a way that involves cake. So if you're excited to celebrate Tim, you want to hear from some other people about the way he's affected their lives, if you want to stand up and have something to say, if you want to give a hug, give a high five, you can come downstairs immediately after the service, and we are having a party to celebrate Tim and the Osbournes. So as soon as the service is over today, go downstairs, there's a cake, there's going to be more coffee, tea, and we're going to celebrate Tim and hear about his ministry over the years here. So I would invite you to that. If you've been here for 17 or 10 or 5 years, you're definitely welcome. If today's your first Sunday, you might think it seems weird to come, but I would say still come down. You'll get to know some people, and you can hear a lot about what this church is about, because Tim has been a big part of forming. So I invite you all to come and get some cake. I don't know if anybody wants to take cake home, so come and make sure you can cake. And I think that's it. So your next opportunity is to meet and greet. And since I am on the welcome team, I'm gonna issue you a challenge for your meet and greet. I would ask you to stand up and talk to somebody that you don't know their name and ask them their name. And if you've met them 2 times before and you still don't remember their name, say, "See, you told me to ask your name anyway." So stand up, meet someone else. If you're nervous, please do it anyway. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Hey, have a seat, stop talking. Hey, my name's Tim, and this is the last Sunday that I get to say I'm the lead pastor of Mosaic. And, Hooray! And so, see ya. This is wonderful and weird, and again, I just want to echo what Paul and CJ said, that if you are kind of new here, or this is your first Sunday, and you're like, gosh, this is weird, we're so glad that you're here, actually, and this is a special day in the life of this church, and so glad you're here. Somebody just asked me, are you ready? And I said, oh, most certainly not. So, I want to do a couple things. One, just a kind of a quick review of what's going on for me in my process. I want to share three verses with you. And then Abby's going to come up and join me and share some much better stuff, more meaningful. She'll do better than I do. And then we would like to serve you communion on our last Sunday together. So just quickly, I entered into the fall and knew that we were, as a church, were coming up on the time. We were wrapping up about a 5-year season of vision and strategy, and we're entering into what's next. And for the first time in about 16 and a half years, I just felt like this. I don't feel the same. I can't see what's next. I'm not excited about something new, and that was completely foreign to me. And I just started to go, "What does that mean? This is weird." Talk to coaches and mentors and that kind of thing, and started a process with God of like, "This is unknown territory for me. I've never experienced this before." And then started to sense like I think my time is winding down, and that's really new and weird and did not anticipate that. And then the other thing that went along with that is, and this has probably been a slow kind of couple year movement of really post-COVID, has been what has been needed here in this church from the lead pastor is just different. And I was needing to step into some more and more things that are just not in my primary gift set. And with where I'm at in my stage of life and awareness of what God is calling me to and how I'm contributing to his work in the local church and in the world, just that kind of started to go like this. And I went, I don't think I'm supposed to stay in this role anymore, which is really, really hard because it's been such a gift and a joy. And so that was a really hard thing to come to kind of go, I think I'm supposed to step out of this. And so that's kind of what started this transition, this season. And I got to share that with the board in the fall. And we talked through a process for a few months and then shared it at the end of February, kind of here with all of us. And then the last 6 or 7 weeks has been this kind of saying goodbye and transitioning out and setting things down. And that's not something I've done a whole lot. So new thing for me. So that's kind of how we got here. What I want to do right now is in our last time in Scripture, is as soon as I knew what my final Sunday was, God just gave me three verses that have been formative and foundation or absolutely significant for me and how I understand what it means to live a life of following Jesus and to lead in a local church. And so I want to share these with you in an effort to go, here's how I think about and how God has led me to following him. And then secondly, what it means to be a church in this particular time, in this city, in this place, and kind of leave you with that. So I want to invite you to pray with me, and then we're gonna open up Scripture together. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for the beauty that is around us. Thank you for the gorgeous weather this morning. We thank you for life, and we acknowledge you in this space, in this moment, as a God that is good beyond what we can fully imagine and comprehend. For a God that cares about us and sees us and has carefully crafted and created each one of us. For a God that is full of justice and mercy at the same time. For a God that forgives again and again and offers grace. And for a God who is powerful and has a vision for restoring all things. And Holy Spirit, we need and live by your power and your guidance and your voice and your prompting, your comfort and your challenge and your conviction. And so would you have free reign in this time right now, in this room, in our hearts and in our minds? And as we look to Scripture, would you illuminate it for us, communicate it to us? And Jesus, you are our King and our Savior and our Redeemer. Without you, life doesn't make sense. And we absolutely need you. And so would you teach us and guide us even in this moment right now? It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Jesus was with his disciples, and it was a great meal. They're having dinner and having a great time together. And then Jesus kind of shifts and starts talking about a mix of grief and joy. And because he knows what's coming later that evening in the next few days when he'll be executed, buried, and rise again. And he's trying again to tell these men that he deeply cares about, but don't quite get it, what's happening and what's coming up. And he tries one last time, and it's through a meal, and it's a great Last Supper together. And then he just finishes talking to them and begins talking to his Father. And Jesus starts praying around this table with his closest disciples, his closest friends. And he just starts talking to his Father. And I'm curious if he had his eyes open or closed. I don't know, but it was very clear, very apparent to all of them that Jesus was starting to pray. And about the third or fourth sentence of Jesus' prayer with his disciples, but talking to his Father, he says this in John chapter 17, verse 3. It says this, Jesus is praying, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. This verse, when I fully sank into me, when I read it for the first time and it jumped off the page, got my attention, it changed the trajectory of my life. Not that I was going down some horrid path and all that. I was kind of just in neutral. I was just kind of going around. I had grown up in a wonderful church and have great parents for the most part. And I know so many of us have stories that are so different than that. And so hopefully that doesn't make you not like me or something like that. But I had a pretty stable family life growing up. I'd grown up in a good church. I knew the good news and the gospel. I knew who Jesus was. I had made a decision to follow Jesus, and it just didn't mean that much to me. And I was going along trying to do, average, kind of good behavior kid and that kind of thing, but Jesus actually didn't mean a whole lot to me. And one of the reasons it didn't mean a lot to me at that point was because my understanding of eternal life was kind of the stereotypical, you've maybe heard this before, but the concept of fire insurance. It's kind of a cheesy thing, but the idea is that if I believe in Jesus, then when my life here on this earth ends, I'll go to a good place and not a painful place. I'll go to heaven and not hell. And I thought that was good and locked in, and I was fine. So as far as eternity for me, I was set. But Jesus didn't actually matter a whole lot to me. And then I read this verse, and it, for some reason, God just all of a sudden went, "No, you're missing this major thing." And Jesus, again, is praying to his Father. And he says, "Now this is eternal life." And there's not too many places in Scripture where we actually have a clear definition of something. And Jesus offers us a definition of the most important thing. Jesus offers us a clear definition of this is eternal life. So if you ever shows up on a test or a question somebody's asking, this is the answer. What is eternal life? And I don't know what you've imagined or thought of this before, but eternal life is actually to know God and to know Jesus. We can put the Holy Spirit in there as well. We'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus actually says to his disciples. So Jesus is talking to Jesus, to God, in front of his disciples. He wants his disciples to hear this. In case you missed anything, hey guys, this is eternal life. And so I don't know what you've thought about eternal life, but there was a point I was 18 years old and realized I thought eternal life was just that eternity was set. I was going to someplace comfortable and not painful. And that was it. And then I read these verses, and it's like, wait a second. I had no idea that eternal life is defined at not a location in the future, but a relationship in the present. That eternal life is actually knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ whom you've sent. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. and let's get technical just for a moment if we can, but to know is not just information. To know is not just an intellectual assent to something, an awareness of something, and be able to regurgitate information about Jesus' height, weight, you know, number of years that he lived, what kind of style he dressed with, what kind of things he liked. Stats about Jesus isn't what it means to know. But this word know means to be in deep relationship with intimacy, and then Jesus is actually modeling the very thing. He's talking to his Father, who there's not a closer relationship. We can't fully comprehend how close God the Father and God the Son are. There's this intimate relationship, and he's saying, this is eternal life, that they may know you like I know you, and that they know me, who you sent. And this idea of knowing is not just information, but it's relationship. The way to think about this is it's not just, you can't just know with your mind, it has to sink down into your soul. Like, it's got to be part of you. You know people in your life that you know and who know you. And what Jesus is saying here about eternal life is that we would know God, not just information about him, but we would be in a relationship with him. And this word know actually has this reciprocal meaning to it, that the one who is known in this sense is God, but God is allowing himself to be known and is inviting the knower in with a sense of approval. Hear that again. That the one that is to be known is giving approval and is offering invitation to be known more. Jesus is telling his disciples there. Jesus is telling me when I was 18, and Jesus is telling all of us all the time as we come to this verse, that God actually wants you to know him more, that he's created ways for that to happen, that he approves of you coming to know him more, that he loves you and welcomes you in. That is eternal life. It is not something for the future. That matters to some degree, but not as priority, not as life-shaping reality in the here and now right now. And so it takes this thing of eternal life that we can shelve and put off and later on and bring it all the way into right now. That eternal life happens right now. And eternal has this sense not of longevity, of eternal forever on a calendar. It's not about chronology primarily. It's about quality. That when we talk about eternal life, it's talking about a quality of life, a depth of life, a reality, a meaning to life, that we can so easily miss if we think it just has to do with length of time or later on. That it's in the here and now. And Jesus is saying to us right now and to every day, eternal life is our relationship in the here and now, where I'm constantly transforming and reforming you to be made different, to make more into like who I am. That set me on a trajectory when I was 18 years old that I don't ever want to end. And I know I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. And that's just something that's nice and can wait now. But what matters to me and what's transformed my life is that eternal life is here now. I want to experience it. I want my family to experience it. I want you to experience it. I want every person that lives, breathes, and exists in this world to experience that. Jesus goes on. He spends some time, a number of weeks with his disciples, and then he's on a hill. And he says this next verse to them, and it's in Acts chapter 1. And he says this, and it's his last final words to his disciples. And he says this, standing on the hill, and he's about to ascend. And if you're not familiar with this scene or you don't know what happened, Jesus is on a buried after he was executed on the cross, conquers death, rises again, spends a few weeks with the disciples, just initially just messing with them and freaking them out. And then spending time with them and eating with them and talking with them and teaching them kind of final things. And then they go for a walk one day, end up on a hill, and Jesus is like, I'm out of here. So here's my last final things to say to you. And then it says he ascended. And so feel free to picture this however you want, because it's not explicit in scripture. I picture like without the uniform doing just like Iron Man and just kind of going like, and just going up, and he's like, you can't see me anymore, and then so something happened. But he ascends, he's gone. These are the final things that he says to them before he goes up. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria into Portland, Vancouver metro area in the 21st century. It might be written differently in your Bibles or up on the screen, but that's what the original language means. So we do live in the ends of the earth to some degree. So Jesus' final words. I mean, he's already talking about leaving you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. I'm leaving you. We're still with you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're still with you in the Holy Spirit. I'm out of here. Holy Spirit's going to come. That's what's going to. But it's not just to make you feel good. It's to empower you. It's to give you power to do something that you probably can't do or aren't very comfortable doing on your own, which is being my witnesses. So, eternal life is knowing Jesus and being in a relationship with Jesus and becoming more like Jesus. And next, the Holy Spirit is with you to give you power to tell other people about what it's like to live a life with you, to be a witness and a messenger about how great Jesus really is. You're empowered to do this. This is why you're here. I mean, there's a lot of other reasons too. And you can get into like the specifics and the details of like, you know, what you're good at and who God's put you on this earth to be in relationship with. And if you're a parent, that is part of why you're here. If you're a friend, if you've got certain skills and a vision for a job, an occupation, a vocation. There's all different reasons of why you're here. But they're all under the big banner of this one. To be a witness to Jesus. And if you still don't know Jesus or you haven't decided to follow him, then you're just, right now you're just aiming at much lower targets. There's a bigger target that you were created for. And that God actually has intention and built you with capacity to play a role in the bigger one of actually being a representative, an ambassador, a witness, a messenger for Jesus here in this world. That meets Jesus. Jesus' last words to his disciples were, you've got a mission, and it's to be my witnesses. And then you can keep reading through the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament and the history of the church, and all of there's so much of it, just the spread, and then just went out, and they went and they paid great prices and great sacrifices. But there's a movement that continues today in this room and with this people and down the street with another one, and across town with another one. There's a whole bunch of churches around our really messed up, needy city, and place of a continent that needs Jesus. It's part of a world, it's a part of a history, where followers of Jesus have been continuing to do this until all the way back to Jesus lifted off of that hill and said, you're gonna go be my witnesses. And then a few days later, they're in this apartment, the Holy Spirit shows up in a radical way. From that moment forward, we have been involved in being witnesses. And we can't do it on our own. It takes the Holy Spirit. But if we miss this, skip this, diminish this, overlook this, we lose our way. And we get confused and distracted about other reasons that we're here, that we spend time being in church, that we put effort towards things. This is why we're here. The last verse has to do with how. And it's not one verse, it's like eight. But it's my last Sunday and I get to count it as one, so. We need to hear this. This is in the book of Ephesians. If eternal life is in relationship with Jesus, the reason we're here is to be witnesses for him. Thank God that we have the power of the Holy Spirit. The third one is how. How do we possibly go about this? Ephesians 4, chapter 11 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, so it started with a so, and then it moves to a then. So then, so God gave gifts and with his intention of growing up and becoming one, united, and mature, attaining the whole measure of Christ. That's all supposed to be happening. And then the result of that is this. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each and every one of us has something important, special, unique, and needed to contribute to what goes on here. To be a church takes everyone playing their role. And if you have no idea what that is, that's totally fine. There's a bunch of people around here that will help you find out what that is and find a place for you. And it might be something new that nobody's ever thought of before. But you actually have a gift, and it's meant to contribute to the whole. And there are some gifts that are meant specifically to equip the whole, to find their way, to grow into maturity. It's so helpful to say, instead of being something, we're going to be something else. And instead of being an infant, instead of being a baby and immature, we're going to be on a track to becoming mature, which involves unity and understanding who Jesus is, and to be able to visibly, notably be on a track to becoming more like Jesus and less like not Jesus. That those are things that it takes everyone contributing to. But we're not going to be infants anymore. And then it describes part of being a baby. And part of being a baby and an infant and somebody who is immature is being moved around and swayed, tossed back and forth by the waves. So there's an image you get. We've all done that. We all know what that looks like, tossed back and forth. So not in control of ourselves, but being controlled by something else outside of us, meaning the waves. So there's some kind of waves that are moving us that we don't have control, that we're just going with the waves. And blown here and there by every wind of teaching. So it moves from analogy to specific what's going on. That there's ideas, thoughts, and ways of being in this world that are not of Jesus, that are not true, that are not real, that are not redemptive, that are not from Scripture and can't be found in Scripture or grounded in Scripture in any way. But there's these teachings that are out there and they're like waves and they can move us. And then there's other people that those teachings don't move. That it's like a firm and fixed pillar that somehow is anchored into something, that the waves move up and against it and the pillar doesn't move. That's what we're being built into. We're moving from something that can be moved by everything else around us. And it actually says that the deceitful scheming of people, each and every one of us are in that tension between being controlled by the stuff around us. And it, I don't know exactly how the Greek translates there, but it may actually translate of just social media. Like the thoughts and ideas of the best, or at least the most promoted of humanity right now, move and sway us every different direction based on what we swipe on and click on, and it moves us around and it forms us and it directs us and it builds us into a certain kind of person, and it's not this kind of person, and it's not the stable one that can stand and resist the waves. And the way to be a person that is no longer an infant and a baby that is pushed around by everything that is surrounding us in society, but to be anchored to something that is much deeper and foundational and unmoving and eternal. The way to do that, the how, is by being a part of a church that holds to Scripture, that preaches and teaches Jesus, and says we are going to be a people that remain winsome and gentle and firm and truthful and full of grace, and that we're going to be a light in the midst of a very dark place, and we're going to set our feet on the truth of the good news of Jesus and the reliability of Scripture, and we are not going to move. And there's going to be all sorts of waves that bounce up against us. And if we think we can go and do that on our own and detach from a local church that is seeking to be and do that, we shift back and devolve back into being infants and babies. Eternal life is knowing Jesus in the here and now and entering into his kingdom in the here and now by being a witness for him that is not only under our own power, but under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the way that we do that consistently, repeatedly, reliably throughout the course of our life is being part of a community that is seeking Jesus together. When Abby and I first learned about Mosaic, those things matched up very easily. And it has been a joy to be a part of contributing to that and being a part of that consistently. And I have no question and no doubt that that will continue.
you gave us the highest of highs. And we will walk away from that today in our hearts and in our memories. Thank you for who you are, for who you are in our lives, for helping me become who I am and helping him become who he is.
There's so much for me as a leader and pastor that has been meaningful. But far beyond that is what Abby just said, is to be able to be a family in a church and have it go well. I'm intimately aware of how great that is. Thank you. You should be really proud of yourself. And I'm not blowing smoke. If you're new or just looking to tone into this community, that's the real deal. And I would encourage you to continue to lean in and find and get to know who Mosaic is and who the people are. Thank you. We would like to serve you communion. And so we've got two big loaves of bread down here. And so I'm going to hold the bread with the
morning, we do have a long line. So we just ask where you are, with your family or by yourself, that you pray over the Osbournes during this time, that as they serve in this communion, that God guide their steps forward, and we bless them for all the blessing they've been for us. So let's take a few moments just in quiet prayer where we are as we continue to communion this morning.
Hello again. invite other board members up to the stage and also Tim back up to the stage. So we are having a party for Tim downstairs. We're going to pray for him down there too, but we did want to pray and bless him in his service. And we've got, as you can see, board members coming from all directions. We have people downstairs and on the lobby. So we didn't practice this super well.